Good morning, everyone. I hope all of you have had a dry morning. Today we bring to a close the sermon series that we have been in for several weeks, and that sermon series is studying God's Word. We began the entire series by reminding ourselves that, number one, the Holy Spirit is absolutely required. Can anyone say required?
Required.
That prayer is essential, that context is everything. Scripture must interpret Scripture. And then today we're talking about teaching your children and your grandchildren. And so as we continue this, we need to understand and just really be, I guess, cemented in the reality that we do need help in interpreting God's Word. We begin by praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. As we talked about, prayer is essential. We looked at that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, that not only would I gain knowledge of God, but the eyes of my heart would be enlightened. And so our head and our heart are united in a passionate pursuit of understanding and getting to know this great God who saved us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But sometimes we need help, and we're going to talk about tools. I mentioned a couple tools that I do recommend, and we're going to actually talk about that a little bit further. But today we're going to begin by reminding ourselves and maybe rooting ourselves that discipleship begins in the home. I understand there are definitely the existence of broken homes and dysfunctional homes, but God has designed the family to the point and to the reality that discipleship begins in the home. So if you would, if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And as you're turning, would you please stand at the reading of God's holy word if you are able. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to look in verses 8 and 9. Reading in Christ's name. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland to your head and pendants for your neck. Lord, I thank you for these powerful verses. And Lord, I thank you for the reminder that discipleship does begin in the home. Lord, I do pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would be from you and not from me. And Jesus, I pray that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray all of this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, you may be seated. And so why is this important? Some of you might think, well, that's kind of obvious, but I think that we should never take it for granted. But why is it important? So believers in Christ Jesus, as we are saved through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we understand and we confess together that when the Son sets you free, you are
free.
And in the midst of that freedom, resting and trusting in the completed work of Jesus Christ, we have the honor and the privilege as parents, grandparents, and others to teach children God's holy word. And God designed that to begin in the home. If we think about the Old Testament tabernacle, as the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt, there was no teaching in that temple. The teaching happened in the home, just as our scripture lesson reminded us. Fathers, teach your sons. Teach these things diligently to your family members. Have them be every part of your day when you rise, when you go, and have them on your hands and in front of your eyes and on your doorposts, meaning that every aspect of your life is an act of worship to God, and God's word should continually be on our heart. We should be continually prayerful, always giving thanks and praise to God. That helps us to keep our eyes off of ourselves and on to the great God who saved us. Can anybody say amen? That's the point. But number one, God commands it, as he does in here. All throughout Proverbs, on the back of your sermon notes, there is some study notes taken from the Concordia Study Bible, the Lutheran Study Bible, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But it's mentioned multiple times, and the reason it's mentioned multiple times in the proverb is because it reminds us that, number one, dads are the spiritual leaders of their home and are responsible for their spiritual well-being, and that mothers, along with fathers, as a united one entity in marriage, as two become one, you have the honor and privilege of instructing your children in the Word of God. It's a really important thing. We read about it in Deuteronomy. We see it even honestly in the Garden of Eden, and then fast forward to the New Testament. Let me ask you a question. It's not necessarily a trick question, but could be. Who ate the fruit first in the Garden of Eden, Adam or Eve? Who got blamed for it in the New Testament? Adam. Why? Because he was the spiritual leader of the home, and it was his responsibility to teach his household the word of God. I say this gently to every parent that I participate in baptism in, and I look at the dad, and I just remind them in a very gentle, loving way, it is not my responsibility, nor anyone on this staff, to train your kid or your child in the things of God. It is yours. And I say that lovingly, and I say it gently. My job and my role and my calling is to equip you for the work of the ministry, to give you the tools that you need to teach the Word of God effectively in your homes and in your life. Well, Brian, I'm not a very good teacher. In the nicest way I can say this, everyone is called to teach the Word of God. So I'm going to try to give you some tools in just a little bit. So God commands it. It is an honor and a privilege. We don't do this because we have to. Help me out. We do this because we... Amen. I like some of the kids being really loud. That's great. God's word commands it. And secondly, God's word is our primary source of hope and guidance. If it is our primary source, and some would say the only source, and I think there's a lot of other great books out there, but it's probably taken from this and most likely taken from this. So I'm comfortable saying only, but it is our primary source of guidance and truth. Why would we not then teach that to our children? Doesn't make too much sense, does it? We teach our kids to not touch the stove, right, when it's on, even though they do it anyway. You know what I mean? We teach our kids, especially in this inner city, I remember, you know, living on 40th and Russell, don't run into the street. Look both ways. And so there's things that we teach our kids for their safety and their well-being. Why in the world wouldn't we teach them the Holy Word of God, which brings life, salvation, and freedom in Christ Jesus? It's the Word of God that brings hope, peace, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of a sinful generation. But as we look at this text, it's the reminder that it begins in the home. I do understand, and as I said before, that I know that a lot of homes are broken, and I know that there's dysfunction in the home. And so you do your best. You do the best with what you have. And I want to extend this to you as your pastor. If you don't know where to start, call me. If you don't know where to begin, we are going to talk about that in a little bit. But use your pastor in that way. Like as I said a couple weeks ago, many of you might not believe this, but I am a gift to you, believe it or not. I am a gift to you as God has supplied his church with everything it needs. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and on. And so that's part of my role. It's my privilege to do that. And I like doing it. So when people are like, hey, I ran across this text, I don't exactly know what it means, and my Bible study didn't really cover it, ask me. Please. I'm here for you. I'm here to serve this congregation. And I'd love to serve you in that way. And I love doing it. I do not have all the answers, but I got a lot of great resources. And so if I don't, there's always wiser men than me. And again, that reminds us that we always need help, don't we? I said a couple weeks ago that anyone who thinks they can do this on their own is prideful and arrogant, and you will run into misinterpretation if you don't have useful tools or you don't ask for help when you need it. Be careful. Remember about context. You take the text out of the context, what are you left with? A con, a lie, sometimes. It's easy to misinterpret Scripture if you don't understand the context of what you're looking at. And so finally also, as I have been privileged to teach all of my children confirmation and we morning devotions and stuff, and I know they don't like this, and I know most students don't like this, but I kind of like the school year. Can I just tell you that? And so I'm kind of excited for the school year to start. Why? Because I get to spend time in God's Word with my children every morning. I do love that. In summertime, your schedule gets kind of wonky, and we don't always do the best we can, but a lot of times we do, and I always give them opportunities to go to camps. We just returned from one, places where they can hear the Word of God, and I'm also privileged to accompany them. I always feel kind of bad because most of the camps they go to, I end up either teaching at or I'm doing something, and so far they don't hate that. So I guess I'm okay with that. But I love being around my kids as they are learning the Word of God, and as they are growing in Christ Jesus. It's an honor and a privilege to see that. And so I'm really thankful for that. So when school starts up, we get up. I mean, I'm telling you, it'd be easy to just stay in bed. You know, Andrew's 14. He can get up by himself and get dressed. And all these guys are self-sufficient. They can all cook. They can all do their own laundry. They can all do all of those things. And it'd be easy for me to just stay in bed, let them get up and get on the bus or whatever. But I enjoy it. I miss that time. And so I kind of like this school year. Sorry, guys. But I do. because there's structure and there's just that beauty, that beautiful moment in the morning when we can do that. And so that brings us right into it. It knits us together as a family between parents and their children, between guardians and their children, between grandparents and their children. It also knits us together with nieces and nephews and all the children that God brings across our life to teach and to train God's holy word. Again, not because we have to, but because we get to because of what Christ has done for us. Amen? So where do I start? Well, in your sermon notes, if you don't have one, I encourage you to grab them. I'm sure there's extras back there. There is an inductive study sheet that has 5 questions that we use on a regular morning basis. Me and my children have used this throughout their whole life. And so just kind of like in a little bit of a classroom setting, we're just going to go through this in our text. So our text, again, is Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. So as we look to fill in the questions of this particular text, let's read our text one more time. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And so, hear, my son, does not exclude girls. It means children. All children that you have access to, whether they're students, whether they're your children, or whether they're someone else's children. So who's in the text is the first question. All children. Mothers and fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, all of them are in the text. And so you can kind of place yourself wherever you are at. Maybe you're single. Maybe you can think about this for yourself, or you can think about it for maybe your nieces, nephews, or your future children. If you're a mother and father, well, that's who you are. Who am I in the text? You're the mother or the father. Maybe you're a grandmother or a grandfather. I said that right? Yeah. Which I'm going to be a grandfather pretty soon, so that's kind of exciting. Kind of a new privilege of training up my grandchildren in the Word of God. What an exciting thing. So who's in the text? I'm in the place of being an instructor because I'm a dad and I'm also a grandpa. And even though the child isn't born, I'm still a grandpa. Amen? Because that's a life. And I'm excited about that. And so I'm in the text, so when I read this, I can read this with those eyes. I'm reading this as a dad and a grandpa. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your teaching. So if you're a student here, what does that first verse tell you? What is God revealing about himself to you? If you are the student, it reveals that it's important to God for you to learn about who he is, right? This instruction just isn't about crossing the street. This instruction is in the Word of God. This instruction is to learn about the wonderful Messiah who came, was born in Bethlehem, lived a perfect life that we could not, paid for the totality of our sin on the cross of Calvary, and 3 days later rose again because we serve a risen and living Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen? And in that victory, in that completed work, we are set free and forgiven of all past, present, and future sins. Every text in the Bible, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, Christ is at the center. So just go into every text thinking that Christ is right in the middle. Because if you look at this, it looks like something you have to do. But this is something you get to do in the freedom of Christ Jesus. And so please read the Old Testament with New Testament eyes. Don't stay away from the Old Testament, man. There's a lot of great stuff, and I love the Old Testament. So who's in the text? We've got mothers and dads and grandpas and grandmas and any adult that's teaching. We also have students in the text. So does that kind of cover everybody here? It really does. Doesn't matter whether you're single or not. It covers everybody here. What's happening in the text? God is revealing to us that it's important to him for us to teach his holy word. Amen? And so God is revealing it's important to God to teach his holy word. He also said it's a beautiful adornment for those who teach the word of God in their homes. That graceful garland, it kind of talks about winning a race or like winning a game at the Olympics. That's how they used to put crown the victor. But can I tell you, for you, the victory's already been won. Can you say amen? And so we are running a race that's already been won, as it says in Hebrews. Jesus already won the race. He already provided the victory. And in that freedom, you get to teach your children, your grandchildren, anyone that you have access to, the holy word of God. Why? Because Jesus is worthy and we get to do this. It's an honor and a privilege. And so what's going on in the text is that it's a beautiful thing to teach children the word of God. Amen? It's a beautiful thing to teach children the Word of God. What is God revealing about Himself? Number one, He wants you to know Him. It's important to Him that all children know Him and know salvation in Christ Jesus. It's kind of a given, isn't it? We think about, why did Jesus come? To set the captives free. So sometimes you don't always have that knowledge, and that's why tools are really important. So I have mentioned throughout this series these two tools. And one of them is the Lutheran Study Bible, and I'm only endorsing the one from Concordia Publishing House. There is another one called the Lutheran Study Bible put out by the ELCA, and I do not recommend that one. I'm just going to say that. So this is the one I'm recommending, the Lutheran Study Bible put out by Concordia Publishing House. On the back of your sermon notes is the excerpt from this study Bible. And I oftentimes will do that in my sermons. On the back of the study notes, I'll put the excerpt of the text we're looking at. The other one is called the Literary Study Bible. It's put up by Crossway. The reason I like that, because it just tells you what's in the text. And it takes every book of the Bible and puts it and couches it in the master plan of God's revealed plan of salvation. And I love that. The book of John is a chapter in the whole of Scripture. Understanding the context, what is the focus of the Gospel of John? And it tells you these things, and these are great tools to use. Please hear me. And if I just want to be really clear, because I'm your shepherd, small s. I'm your sheepdog more than I'm your shepherd. There's a good story to there, isn't there? But as your sheepdog, the gift that God has given you, don't think there isn't greed involved in some of the books written about the Bible. What's the number one selling book in the world? The Bible. There's money involved. There are many tools that do not accurately interpret the Word of God. And unfortunately, a lot of people do it for money. Be careful with what you choose. That's why I'm only comfortable giving you those two. So be careful with what you choose. There's a lot of study Bibles out there. If you want to know what I would recommend, there it is. If you want to check what you have, call me, email me. Don't be afraid. But just be prepared to hear the answer, I wouldn't use that. Be prepared for that. Okay? And so there's my two recommendations for you as your sheepdog in the Lord. All right? And so what is God revealing about Himself in here? That He wants dads and moms, grandparents, to teach their children and grandchildren the Word of God. It is God's design for the family, for marriage to be for life, and then in the midst of that marriage that is for life, you are teaching and training your children and grandchildren the Holy Word of God. Discipleship begins in the home. I understand that we can look at the world and we can complain about that, but I'm just speaking to people who are here. Discipleship begins in the home. Discipleship begins in the home. All right? And so that's what God reveals about Himself, His creation. He wants children to know who He is. He wants children to understand salvation in Christ Jesus. And so what does this reveal about me? For those who are students in our text, it means that you are to be a learner. You should seek after these things as children, as teens, as young adults. You should continually be a learner. But that also means that for dads and for moms. So are we always learning? You can answer, yeah. Is there always someone that knows more about the Bible than you do? Yes. And I'm thankful for that. I talked about that last week where there's seven pastors, many of them seminary teachers. And I love that. That gives me comfort because I know if I teach something wrong, they're going to come and talk to me. I embrace that. I love accountability. It helps me think, I'm like, do I have this right? It keeps me on my toes in a good way as an act of worship to God to make sure I am properly interpreting the text according to God's holy word. And that's a safe place to be. And you guys should be thankful for that. You should be grateful for those people. But what it reveals about learner is that all of us are learners, but children should be diligent to continually study the word of God. Kids, can I get your attention for a moment? All the children. You can remind, I'm giving you permission to remind your parents and your grandparents to teach you the Word of God, okay? I'm giving all of you permission as your sheepdog in the Lord to remind your parents and guardians and grandparents to teach you the Word of God. For those who are moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, This is the wonderful call, the wonderful privilege to teach your children the Word of God. Amen? It is an honor and it is a privilege. There is nothing more gratifying in this life, as Connie and I celebrate 25 years of marriage this year, to see all four of my boys following Jesus. I love them. I know they're not perfect. I know they're going to have struggles, but they look to Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. But it didn't happen by osmosis. I didn't leave that responsibility in the hands of our pastors. I took that responsibility on as the head of the household to love my wife as Christ loved the church, and to love my children and to not provoke them and raise them in the instruction and discipline of the Lord, just as our scripture says. It's an honor and a privilege. If you're single, come alongside a family that's in need. Come alongside a broken family, possibly, and aid them in teaching the Word of God, in helping them with practical needs. That's how you can do that, to free up time for a single parent home, to do practical things so that they have time to teach their children the Word of God. That, too, is preaching the gospel of Christ. Amen? That's what we are as the body of Christ. That's what we do. And so what does God reveal about himself? God reveals that he wants all children to know about him and Christ's salvation. What does it reveal about me? That I have a responsibility to be both a student and a teacher. Confirmation students, I know that many of you are here today. You have now the honor and privilege to take what you have learned in confirmation and come alongside a teacher in Sunday school. If you haven't already do this, I would ask Stephanie, where can I help? Where can I be a teacher's assistant? Where can I teach people the Word of God? Where can I teach what Pastor Brian and Pastor Ben has taught me about the Word of God? How can I be a part of this body, the church, in training and teaching people the Word of God? How do I apply it to my life? Number one, we all are called to be self-feeding Christians. We are all called to be self-feeding Christians. What's that mean? Taking this inductive study tool, using the tools that I recommended or another one that is also biblical in nature, and diligently studying the Word of God on a daily basis. Why? Because we need it. If it is our only source of hope and guidance and of peace and of salvation, well, then we should pay attention to it. We should really honor the words of Christ that is the pearl of great price, and that we should sell everything else just to possess that one thing. The Word of God is precious to us. Another thing that it reminds us is, yes, we're to be students, perpetual students all the time, but that we also have the privilege and honor of teaching people the Word of God, allowing this wonderful call, this wonderful honor, this wonderful privilege to get us out of our seat and volunteer for the teaching of Sunday school, volunteer for Wednesday nights, volunteer for teaching the teens, volunteer that if you're able or if you have a greater understanding of Scripture, to come and talk to me about possibly teaching a Sunday school class. And so those are the ways in which we apply this to our life. Sometimes you're going to have verses kind of like the end of Matthew chapter 6, where it says, don't be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. And so there's really nothing to physically do with that verse. And so the way that you can apply it is pray that verse over you. Lord, I pray that I would not be anxious for tomorrow. That my family, my wife, and my children would not be anxious for tomorrow. That my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren would not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So sometimes applying the text is praying that text over you and your family. And so it may feel a little bit awkward as you go through these. If you want a copy of this sheet that you can continually print at home, contact Stephanie or me. We will send it to you. And you can use it because it's easy. 5 questions. Have one of those study Bibles at hand when you're doing it. Understand the context. Obviously, understand and remind yourself that you are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to accurately interpret Scripture. And pray. Always pray. And if you don't know what to pray, pray that verse that I gave you in Ephesians chapter 1. That you would fill me with all knowledge and that the eyes of my heart would be enlightened. Personalize that prayer. Pray before it. And so what I'm hoping that this series has given you, and if you missed any, all of them will hopefully be on the web by Tuesday, they will give you all the tools you need to teach the Word of God in your homes. And to the children and the youth here, please don't think you can't do this, as oftentimes you teach us things just as we hear from week to week at the children's sermon. as they answer beautiful questions in the Lord. All of this is because of what Christ has done. Amen? All of this is couched, wrapped, and cemented in the completed work of Jesus Christ, who has set us free, who has forgiven all believers from all past, present, and future sins, reminding us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when the Son sets you free, help me out, you are free. You'll never forget that as long as I'm your sheepdog. And in that freedom, do this as an act of worship. Learn to study God's word because it is a great source of truth, hope, life, and peace. Become better at interpreting God's word through the tools that are given, through wiser people that know more about Scripture than you do. Don't do this on your own. Do this in the midst of the body of Christ. Look to the gifts that have been given to the church as listed in Ephesians chapter 4. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Stay rooted in the holy word of God. Look to Christ as the founder and the perfecter of your faith. You will not be put to shame because Scripture promises that. Can everybody say amen? Lord, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for this wonderful time that we can look in your holy word and understand the privilege we have as believers in Christ Jesus to teach your holy word, to teach the gospel of Christ with and without words. And so, Lord, enable us to do that in the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, and I pray these things in Christ's precious name. And all of God's people said,